life giver. Who is the life giver? It's very important and it's very basic. But it is the foundation of understanding our Heavenly Father and eternal life if you intend to go there. So open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant, that's the agreement between God and the people, that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. There's no way that the law can take the promise away from you as long as you're trying. And naturally, the law was given 430 years before it actually came in. They were freed to come into practice. Verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Why? Because of Abraham's trust for the living God. You might ask yourself a question. Do you trust him? Do you believe him? You see, that makes a big difference. That brings you out of law into the promise. Verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? What was it for? It was added because of transgressions. What is sin? Sin is to transgress the law. Okay. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. And so it was. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. God is one, and he got it done for everyone. Do you know where that's written? I'm going to just take time out and go there. Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33, verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai, that's the place of the law, and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints. For his right hand went a fiery law for them. And so it was. It was given. There was an army of angels with him when this came to pass. God never backs up on his word. Sometimes man slips back on his. But that's the one reason you should believe. Because that removes you from the law and puts you into the promise. Verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? Question. God forbid. No way. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, and that's why we came here, who is the life giver? If the law could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. In other words, if the law could give you eternal life, that's all we would ever had. But the law can't give you eternal life. There's only one. There's only one life giver. And it really makes sense if you go all the way back. Why is he the life giver? Because he's the creator. He spoke and nothing became everything. So naturally, he is the life giver. Verse 22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That do what? The qualification there, that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed, and it was. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. It was a schoolmaster. It still is to this day. The law is certainly not bad. It will keep you out of trouble. It will keep you from making mistakes. But life comes from the Creator of all. He that touched man. He that breathed life into man. And man became a living soul. He is that light giver. But what He wants you to strive for from this point is not just life in the flesh, but life eternal. He has made that possible, and this is His way of doing it. Verse 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. When you have the faith to follow the Word and be in it, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and you have put on life. 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This particular promise, the word Abraham, Abraham's name in the Hebrew tongue, what does it mean being translated? The father of many nations. So when it comes to salvation, that door is thrown open to all. I don't care who you are, where you came from, if you believe. That's what it takes to bring that into your own heart. And there's no such thing as, well, I believe a little bit. No, you don't. There's no such thing as believing a little bit. You either believe that God created this world, that He created the men, women, and everything in it, that He's still on the throne, and by the Holy Spirit, He touches you. If you don't believe that, if you say, well, I believe a little bit. No, you don't. A little bit is a non-believer. You got to shuck it down and get real with Him. He knows even your thoughts. You don't have any secrets from Him. And do you know something? He loves you. Would you believe that? He does. He loves you regardless. And certainly, this is why He made all this possible. That all, I don't care who, if you believe. This does not relieve Israel or anyone else from the duties God has prophesied concerning them. But salvation is open to all, and the duties thereof assigned to each people. 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs. That means given life eternal according to the promise. It stays with you forever. No going back on it. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I mess up every once in a while. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. We all mess up every once in a while. In flesh, you're not perfect. I don't know. Maybe somebody ever never told you that. But you really are not perfect in the flesh. But in Him, and hanging on to that promise, and working towards that, and believing, He laid it all out before you. It's that simple. He is the life giver, and He wants to give you eternal life. As it is written in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, it is His will that all come to repentance. They want. But it is God's wish and will that everyone would love Him and would claim that promise. They want because we know from the great book of Revelation, that's not possible. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And we're going to pick it up with verse 16. And verse 16 reads, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace." That means, by grace means unmerited favor. It means a free gift. It's gratuity for you. I want you to understand that faith makes it free to you. Because if you have faith, you believe. Let me see your faith and I will know. "To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law," not under the law, "but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." In other words, through him that seed would come, that Christ child. And if you love that Christ child, you've got eternal life, because he and the Father are the life giver being one. And it is that solid promise. No one else can give you life. Not some church, not some preacher, not anyone else. Your heavenly Father. Why? Because he loves you. He can give you that eternal life if... There's that big old word, isn't it? If you love him, it's free. It's grace, which means unmerited favor. Unmerited means you don't deserve it, but he gives it anyway when you repent and believe upon him. 17, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth." Do you know what this word quickeneth means? It means to make alive. It is the exact same word in the Greek that means life, that gives life. He makes alive. He makes alive the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. I mean, somebody that might even have given up on themselves, thinking they were worthless, things weren't going right, never turned out right. He has a way of taking you in his arms to lead you and guide you and make something out of you. Do you know what he makes out of you? A child of God. Do you know something? It doesn't get any better than that. A child of God has that gratuity, that grace. That means God's love. And God looks after his own. You can count on it. That's what he's telling you. I can give you that life if you have the faith and knowledge to know. No one else can give you eternal life. Only our Father and the Son being one and the same. 18, and verse 18 would read, "Who against hope believed in hope." We're talking about Abraham here. "And he, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Abraham was 100 years old. And God told him, "Your seed's going to be as numerous as the sands of the sea, stars of heaven." A lot of men 100 years old would say, "That can't be." But Abraham, if God said it, I'll take it. You want to do the same today. If God says it, you'd better take it, because he's the life giver. And he loves to give you that life. It is his will that you come to total repentance and serve him in the eternity. Well, you might say, "Well, I don't know if he loves me." He wouldn't have created you if he didn't. You would have been snuffed out from start one. He wishes, he hopes that you come to repentance and love him. 19, "And being not weak in faith," he may have been old, but he wasn't weak in faith, "he considered not his body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yea the deadness of Sarah's womb. I mean, that didn't matter. God had said it. And that made it so. Now, that should apply to your lives today, beloved. That's why he sent you this letter, so that you know what the life giver says. And if he says it, he means it. That should strengthen your faith, whereby you can believe upon him. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was shouting about it before it ever happened. And how precious it is. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That's faith, beloved. You might, if you want to measure yourself someday, measure yourself against that. Do you believe God's word, or are you a play actor? It comes down to that point. Verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. You know, it was given because he was a righteous man through his faith. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him. Then who? Verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if, there's that big word, you want to underline it, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, being the life giver that brings life even to the Savior, documenting that he lives. And with that, you can face tomorrow. Why? Because you have that gratuity, that free gift of being a child of God. He is that life giver. One more verse. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was raised because God wanted life. Life eternal, not life on this flesh. He sent him. And we come down to the point where many people at this time, the Sadducees, didn't believe in life after death. They didn't believe Christ rose from the dead. It would be a very foolish thing if you truly today did not believe that Christ rose from the dead, that God gave him that life, that he was the Father. Then why would you want to call yourself a Christian? Because Christianity would be falling on dead space. But he was resurrected. He did live. And many might say, well, how many proofs of that do we have? Well, do you got a calendar? What year is it? Well, let's see, it's 2013 A.D. Oh, well, what does that A.D. mean? It's Latin. Anno Domini means the year of our Lord. And it, from the resurrection, birth to resurrection. How precious it is to have a Father that leaves us proofs, that strengthens us, that strengthens our belief. Now turn on over to the 8th chapter of this great book. Verse 1. And chapter 8, verse 1 reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you do your best to walk in that Spirit, there's no one to condemn you. The world might try, but let it run off your back like water off of a duck's back, because God is happy with you. There is no condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life. Ooh, what was that? Let's read it again in case somebody didn't hear. For the law of the Spirit of life, the Spirit giver, the life giver, is Christ Jesus. He hath made me free from the law of sin and death. When you're free from death, then you have eternal life. How precious it is that spirit that brings life. Well, what is it? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God and the Son. And when He abodes with you, then you have His hand over you. You know, a lot of people just cannot give up worry. I just got to have something to worry about. Well, what good does it do? It doesn't do one whit of good in the world, as the Bible Scripture states. It won't add one second to your life. If anything, it'll take it away. So I'm talking about people here that walk in the Spirit now. If you're in the ways of the world, you might should pay attention. But if you're trying to follow Him, doing your best, He's going to take care of you. It's going to happen good for you. If you believe, if you know that He has His hand on you, with what? The Spirit of life. The life giver that gives us eternal life, whereby you can be a blessing to all people you come in contact with, letting that life reflect and show by your countenance from Christ dwelling in you that reflects and shows the way to many people. It's what a blessing it is to serve the living God. And so it is, that Spirit of life. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, because of flesh. Flesh is weak. It'll get you in trouble. I know y'all probably don't realize that, but flesh can cause you problems. It gets hungry. It gets cold. It'll put everything aside to get a little comfort. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He showed us the way. Showed us how to cut it. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Grasp for that Spirit. Go for it. It's the golden ring. And know and understand, it brings blessings. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the life giver. It gives you eternal life. Verse 5, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's all they think about. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, which is life. For to be carnally minded is death. You want to know who the life giver is? It's Christ. But you put Him out of your mind and walk carnally, and there's somebody meeting you there. It's Mr. Death himself, Satan. That's one of his names. And he's ready for you. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I hope you can believe that. Because peace of mind comes with that. It's part of the gratuity. That if you know you have eternal life, and you know that that Spirit is on you, that you have that in your life, it cannot help but bring peace. Because why in the world would you put up with junk otherwise? Why would you want to mess with it? When you're a child of the living God, and you have eternal life, you don't have time for the other. You're an adult Christian. You're one that follows Him. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's just hard to talk to God if you have that. God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's just cut off. You can certainly lose yourself and cut yourself off if you so choose. Verse 8, So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you live in the flesh, think in the flesh, there's no way you can please God. A lot of people might say, well, all I have to do is live a good life. Well, it's true, but you've got to remember God. You leave the life giver out of it and you've got no life. I don't care how hard you try. You don't have His gratuity, that is to say, the grace, the blessings, the unmerited favor. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh. You don't think in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God. Now get right down to it. What Spirit is that? It's the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So that's what it comes down to. That's the life giver, and that's where life comes from. And I'm speaking here of eternal life. Life ever after, with plenty of everything and plenty of peace and happiness. But that doesn't mean you have to forfeit peace of mind in this earth age. If you truly believe, you will gain that peace of mind and the love of Almighty God. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because of righteousness you live. Don't follow the flesh and leave the Spirit out. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead... Now, wait a minute. What does that mean? If He raised up Jesus from the dead, He's the life giver. Okay. Let there be no doubt in your mind about that. Dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. Quicken means made alive in the Greek tongue. Your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. He will do that. That's why He can readily say, if you believe and have faith, the peace will follow. Okay. Why? Because He sees to it. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. 13. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And that living is eternal life. That's what it's all about, beloved. Is eternal life, looking on forward to that time. Some people get so shook up about what's happening in this world in the end times. You were warned what was going to happen. And you get all shook up. He told us. Does it affect you? You rise above it. You've got it under control. Why? Because you have the Spirit of life. And not just life in the flesh, but life eternal. It's there for you. To conclude, let's go to one more scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. This 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is written to those that would not believe that Christ resurrected from the dead. And Paul here is insinuating that if you believe anything, you've got to believe that Christ rose from the dead, or there isn't a life giver. And you will learn many things about the end times if you listen closely to these basics of the chronological order of events, of how things go down. But the subject being, again, in this chapter, you've got to believe Christ rose from the dead or you're whistling Dixie. That means you're wasting your time. And Dixie's a pretty good old tune anyway, but it's still a waste of time as far as eternal life is concerned. Let's pick it up, if we may, in verse 13 of chapter 15. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If there isn't, then he didn't raise either. Verse 14, and if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. It wouldn't amount to anything. But we know he did. We know from witnesses that he did. We know from the fact that he lives and touches you with that Spirit of life, that Holy Spirit, to get your attention, to know it warms your heart, and you enjoy the fact that he touches you. 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. In other words, what he's saying here, you Sadducees and people that don't believe in life after death, you are simply throwing everything out. There is no hope of life if that be the case. 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. I want you to think about that. Those, your ancestors, your loved ones that have passed away, if you don't believe in life after death, they perished. The flesh body went back to dirt. But he raised that beautiful spiritual body and returned it to himself from whence it came. As Ecclesiastes 12:7, a long time before the New Testament, guarantees. So, no, they didn't perish. And they're not out here in some hole in the ground. They're with him. And he is a witness of that. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. 20, now is Christ risen from the dead, and because the first fruits, and became rather the first fruits of them that slept. Now, if you know what you're hearing here is the foundation of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where many people build the rapture doctrine. I'm saying, you better believe. Don't you listen to somebody that says, well, those dead are going to raise at the seventh trump. They're out of here. They're gone. You would be one that would teach there is no resurrection. You would be one that would teach there's no life after death, when certainly it is. Did he not say that if you believe upon Jesus Christ, death is defeated? Meaning when the flesh dies, you don't. You instantly return to the Father from whence you came, beginning that life eternal, the beauty of the whole thing, and the love of the living God. 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. In that Son, that Spirit of life. 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. There you have that eternal life. They are with him. They witness with him. You know, I referenced once when the law was even given that there were thousands and thousands of angels and saints that came with God in delivering even the law way back then. Where do you think they came from? You think they came out of a hole in the ground out here? No, they were with the Father. Verse 23, but every man in his own order. Now here you go. Listen carefully. You want to know the order of things? You want to know the chronological order of things? Here's the order. But every man in his order, Christ, that's he himself, the first fruits, that means those that pass on and are asleep in him and have already risen. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. In other words, we that remain alive in the flesh and are loyal to him and faithful, we are changed at that time into that spiritual body and with eternal life. That makes the difference. Many will be raised for judgment, and their judges, unfortunately, may pass some of them on by because they don't believe. But there, beloved, you have the order of things. Don't let anyone take that away from you. Well, what did that just say? Well, let me draw it out a little clearer for you. Christ rose, and every soul that has died has risen also. They're the first fruits. Some of them on one side of the gulf, some of them on the other. But they have all risen. God is a God of life, not death, as some would teach him. He gives that eternal life, and it is his will that all would come to it. And there you have the order, the chronological order that will straighten 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 out for many people. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, and he will, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Listen carefully, we're about to close this. 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So, our Heavenly Father, his last move through the Son is to destroy death forever and give that life eternal and bring us into that place. That's what we work forward to. Our Father loves his children. He did a great deal, step by step, leading, sometimes driving a little bit, to bring people to the truth. So he wants to destroy death out of your life, and that you have the peace of mind to know that you have life eternal. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the Spirit of life, your Holy Spirit, Father, the Spirit of Christ which dwells within us, that brings that life. Let it shine forth, Father, that life eternal. Let it be desired of all people, Father, that wish to find eternal peace. In Yeshua Jesus' precious name, amen.
The mark of the beast.